Welcome back. It's part two of the incredible journey that we're going on, the best time of your life, and it is something unpredictable, and it's always, in the end, it's right. Your favorite podcast, this is Grey's Academy. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and I hope you had the time of your life.
It's something unpredictable. Shimona, boo-be-be. I remember... I broke up with Shimona. Shimona. It just is, dude. I remember breaking up with a girl over the phone. Classic. And this was high school. Okay. Cut me some slack.
It's fine. I've done the same thing. But yeah. It was college. But it was fine.
And she immediately changed her Facebook status to that line, something unpredictable. And that's right. Hope you had the time of your life. And I remember I broke this girl's heart. I feel a little bit bad, but she was the rebound to a very long and stupid relationship, my first relationship. But it was fun. We did have a good time.
What a good time. I broke up with this guy, and I just remember, like, I was, like, sobbing on the phone and being like, I just don't think this is working, because we were long distance. And he just, like, sat there in silence and then was like, okay, well, I'm going to go change my relationship status on Facebook. And, like, I hung up, and I was like, wow. I feel vindicated in my choices. Vindicated and validated up in here, bitch.
Yeah. I do. I'm not going to throw this person by name under the bus. Mm-hmm. But one of my... there's a friend in my life who didn't have the cojones to break up with a girl on his own.
Do I already know who this person is?
Yes.
Okay.
So... they asked me, can you call this girl and break up with them for me? And I was like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah. So I called and I said, hey, I got bad news. So-and-so doesn't want to date you anymore. They're breaking up with you. You can call them if you want. But, you know, whatever. And they broke up that way.
It's okay sometimes to say no to people. Just so you know.
It's okay to give yourself permission to say no. I understand. Neither of these people have ever or will listen to the podcast. No. But I did end up hooking up with that girl afterwards.
Well, okay.
I touched her boobies. I just think
sometimes we're a bit too much of an enabler with that friend.
You are way less now, though,
I will say.
Yes. Not that you know at all possibly who I could be talking about.
No. Definitely don't know. The kind of person who would do that.
Yeah. Anyways, Grey's Academy. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. Oh, Captain, my Captain, they call me Ishmael. Go to the Patreon. Follow us. Like, true. Subscribe.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
We have.
They also call me Ishmael.
They also call me Shondaland. Ooh. There's three people.
For sure, Broken Bone Dude.
No.
Nothing makes me quite more frustrated. Other than Jessica.
Oh.
Then, just as a rule of thumb, just being married... The person you're married to knows how to push your buttons more than anyone else in the entire world.
Yeah.
Then getting the first guess of Shondaland wrong. I just hate it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Back in the game. The cameraman.
No.
Is it either of the organ parents?
Yeah.
Mom.
Yes.
Okay.
Now I'm looking at her and I'm confused. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nope. Sorry. So I'm wrong. Sorry. Right. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Okay. Is it Danny?
I feel like I need to stop you because there's no way that you're going to get all three of these. And it's just going to take so long.
Okay. All right. Well, so just know this is not me quitting. This is me being forced to retire.
Yeah. So one of them is Paula, who was the daughter of the mom at the end, the daughter of the woman.
Okay.
And then the other ones are trial patient number 4 and trial patient number 5.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's their name in real life, too. Yeah. They played as self.
Yeah. I just felt that that was going to take us a while to dwindle into. Also, when I was clicking on it on the page I was on, I was clicking on the one above it, which was the mom of the baby that they did the C-section on early. And then it was like not the right name. So I was confused it with my notes because they were not matching up. So that's why I was confused. Anyways, Shelley Boone, who plays Paula, the daughter of the mom at the end, was in one episode of Private Practice. Roberta Basson, I don't know, who played trial patient number 4, was in 2 episodes of How to Get Away with Murder. And Dwayne R. Shepherd Sr. was trial patient number 5, and he was in 1 episode of Scandal.
Ah.
So, one of each today.
Wow, would you look at that?
Let me tell you guys, a lot of guests in this episode.
Yeah, that's a disappointing. Okay, all right. Well, we have 2 storylines really to talk through still. Yeah. The Thatcher storyline, mm-hmm. just in general. And the baby storyline with Lucy and Alex and the beginning of their blossoming love romance.
Mm-hmm. Also, I love Alex, but like, why you gotta be so insensitive?
So like, insensitive.
Like, why? Like that, it's not good. And then later on his defenses, I've said way worse things than that. Alex.
Just because you have doesn't make that also right.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it starts with Alex going and trying to hit on Lucy and calling her a nurse, which is sexist and rude.
I just need to say, I hate that, guys. This is even in 2010, 2011. Women were doctors.
What?
Women were and you know what? Minorities were doctors too, folks. Goodness. I hate that trope in TV shows. Also, but the problem is it's still episode. What?
Alex did that in like the first or second episode.
Yeah, we've seen more growth. Meredith. Oh, that's right. Nope, I don't remember. I don't think I remember. I was hoping if I said it would come back to me.
Yeah, you'll have to take my word for it.
I believe you.
So yeah, and so after calling her a nurse, then is like, oh, one of these babies is a turnip because they're brain dead.
Turnip in the cabbage.
Jesus Christ, God.
Gosh, what is he? Stop what is he it. Called? What is the word that he uses? What is it?
G-O-R-K-E-D. Gorked.
Gorked. What the? I've never heard that term. Now, is that a 2010 slang that I missed?
I don't know. I mean, I think they say it in this show. Maybe Private Practice. I don't know.
I just am like, ugh. And Lucy originally was like, I'm not going to tell you my name. And then she's like, here's the thing. Now I got to tell you my name. First off, I'm a doctor. I'm not a nurse. Because that gorked baby was a baby I delivered. So you can just fuck right the hell up your own rectum. Speaking of, Lucy
and you're
rectum.
Banned from the NICU.
Yeah. And he's like, can you do that? You can't do that. And then doesn't even call her bluff. Just smiles and walks away.
Yeah. And then, so they like continue on the case without Alex, and then he realizes that and he gets mad, and then Arizona's like, I can't believe you said that, and he's offended that Lucy tattled on him, but I'm like, but don't say it in the first place and it won't be an issue.
Right. Don't let every intrusive thought win, Alex.
Yeah, not all thoughts are for the outside world.
Most of yours aren't, Kelsey.
Well, that might be true.
yeah. And he does kind of go in and he's like pressuring that family. He's like, we have, there's not enough time. We gotta.
Well, I don't think it was pressuring so much as I think that scene was really just trying to establish that Alex has been on this case and like has a relationship with that family. Yes. And like he knows the dad, like calls him by his first name.
Colin
throws himself in the conversation and they're like, okay, obviously this is overwhelming. There's like a lot of doctors in here. Like we'll give you some, because 36 weeks is a preemie. That's obviously a full month earlier than you anticipate. Like, and then to be like, oh, and immediately we're going to take your baby to heart surgery. It's like, yikes. That's just so many things all at once. Like, obviously that is terrifying.
At first, I got to tell you, until they said C-section, mm-hmm. I was thinking they were going to do an open heart surgery transplant on the baby while inside the in utero.
That and would I was be some like, gray shit.
I'm like, that would be jumping the shark. Like,
they're really not making a big enough deal about this.
Yeah. Where are the cameras?
Why is everyone acting like this is normal?
But I have seen in Scrubs, and I think it's fairly common, they do in utero surgeries.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They definitely do them a lot. I mean, that's what Addison like does.
But not an in utero heart transplant.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that would be insane.
That'll be the day
when pigs fly. Am I right? And then we get those scenes where so Alex is like up in the gallery watching
with Lucy.
With Lucy.
And he's obviously very invested. Like, he cares about this baby. And he just is a turd. And Arizona even says later to Lucy, like, I can teach him how to be less of an ass, but I don't have to teach him how to care. Which I do feel like sums up Alex.
Yeah.
Because his default is to care, but he puts on the, like, oh, I don't care facade.
Which is annoying.
It is.
But for all those who can see.
It's better than the other way of pretending to care and actually not giving a shit about people.
Right.
But they're both not great. I mean, just like be upfront about your feelings.
Yeah, care. Care and be a good person. We can have it all, people. It's 2024. Well, also for them, it's 2010.
In that gallery scene, we get like the backstory on Lucy, like talking about how terrible that like labor and birth was for that mom.
Can you read that? I was going to ask
really
you. It's
really hard. It's so sad though, but I will.
It's
read
very
it,
sad.
Yeah. Let me find it. But
while you're pulling that up, Alex is basically like, hey, you're right. I shouldn't have said that stuff. But like, I deserve to be on that case. Like, you overreacted.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, doctor to doc. Like, he said, I'm sorry about it. I'm like, okay, great, an apology. But completely negates it. Like, already mad. Don't have an apology and then say but. Like, that's so frustrating.
Yes.
But doctor to doctor, you overreacted. I deserve to be in there. And that's when she's like, well, that was your patient. What about my patient? And Lucy says she had a 40-hour labor and then the baby was stuck on an angle and wouldn't drop. So my patient just had to push and push and push. And do you want to know what you say to a woman who's in that kind of pain? You say, one more, Jackie, one more, and you're going to see that baby. One more, and you're going to have a beautiful baby boy. I know it hurts. I know it does. But give me one more, Jackie, and you get a baby. That's how you get a woman to tear her own body apart. You promise her a baby. You make a promise and she hurts herself because she trusts you. And then when that baby comes out and he's not, you're the one that has to tell her that you are mistaken. Makes me kind of lose interest in what you deserve. Mr. Where's the Cabbage Patch?
It does feel like that did get through to Alex.
Yeah.
And
which if it didn't, I would be like, you need to seek help.
Yeah. Get into therapy.
Yeah.
Drive back home to Iowa for a day again. See how good you have it out here in Seattle. It's tough because they both are coming at it from their points and their patients.
Right.
Her patient was one who's not going to make it. And that is terrifying. Like, as I was watching this scene, all I was thinking in my head was, we hope to have another kid. Yeah. And
it's like a nightmare scenario.
It's, yeah. And I know a couple of people who either who I know one friend, like a personal friend, a second connection here, her brother and his wife had a child and died of SIDS. And I know of stories of people in my family who, you know, I think generationally, we just don't talk about it, right? It's just not, we just don't talk about it. Who have had miscarriages. And I know there are people out there, I don't think I have anyone in my life who's had a stillbirth. Oh, no, I do know someone who had a stillbirth. Yeah, I know someone.
Yep.
And it's just fucking scary.
Yeah.
And at least in this scenario, some good will come out of it. But Alex doesn't have to be an asshole about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because even when you're saying, like, it's okay, here's where it's confusing to me. Is because, like, one of the first times we meet Arizona and her and Alex are together, they're, like, flying to get an organ donation from a kid. And he's like, how can you be happy when we're going to, like harvest these organs from a dead kid? So, like, this
shift
is, like, really bizarre to me, and it doesn't super track. Like, obviously, they're like, let's make a conflict so that they can hate each other. But I'm like, that's not, like, we've seen him be upset on the other side of this, so it's bizarre to me.
That's right. I didn't even remember that until you said it.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because I'm like, okay, well, we've seen him be, like, visibly upset about this exact scenario. And I don't think that he's the type to be hardened by it. Like, it's still babies. Like, I don't think he's just going to be like, lol, who cares anymore? Like, I don't think that's something he's going to quote unquote. Like, yeah, you would adjust or whatever, but I don't think you would just not care anymore.
Yeah.
So that's for me where I'm like, do you know him? That again, I'm like, yeah, it's easy to write him as an asshole, but I still think this might be like a little too far even for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a that's a great point.
Hi.
Sorry. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that until you said that.
Yeah. So anyways, obviously they're like, what can we set up in the future?
Rafflecopter.
What do you think will happen, Carmen?
They're going to
hate each other.
They're going to have sex. They're going to they're going to make sweet, sweet love.
I never thought you'd say that.
And here's the bonus kicker. She's going to get pregnant and she's going to deliver her own baby.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kourtney Kardashian did that.
What?
What was unclear?
She had sex with Alex and then also delivered her own baby?
No, just the second part.
Oh. She delivered her own baby?
She pulls... There's at least the first two, she pulled them out of her self because they're, like, at the hospital and they were filming it. And the doctor's like, oh, the baby's coming out. Do you want to feel? And she, like, reached down and, like, felt and then was like, can I push again? And then just, like, pulled her own baby out of herself. Just, like...
And this is on camera?
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable.
That's fine, honestly.
I've never witnessed the miracle of childbirth.
That's right.
However, I don't think I want to.
Yeah.
Don't think I want to. I also... What was I watching? Oh, the movie with Blake Lively. And I was thinking to myself, I held Marlo before Jessica did. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because in these birth scenarios, the baby comes out and they're like, here, mom, take the baby. Right in your face. And Jess is just sitting there dying, convulsing, puking on a table with her guts strewn about. And I'm like, look at this baby.
This is the happiest day of my life.
I do feel like it would be nice if there was more representation for C-section births in media in general, because I feel like they only ever show you people pushing and then immediately getting that, like, here's your baby. You don't, I mean, obviously, like, in Grey's, there's, in medical shows in general, like, they talk about C-section, or they, like, talk about, you know, oh, we have to immediately take the baby to the NICU or whatever. But if you're, shows that aren't medical in nature, it's almost always like, oh, she just gave birth and, like, everything was fine. And so I do wish there was some amount of representation of, like, C-sections or, like, just different things that can happen after or during a baby's birth. Because if you don't necessarily, like, know someone who's had a baby, you don't really know, like, the reality of it. You only know what you've seen in TV, which obviously is going to be probably just, like, the best case scenario, or, like, you know, obviously right. It depends on the show you're watching, but I'm just like, they should really just throw that in, because it's pretty common
that, well, they have
C-sections.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some stat research here, but I feel like it's the best case scenario or the worst case scenario, both delivered vaginally, not any kind of C-section representation.
Oh, for this episode.
In media in general, it's like, if the baby lives or the baby dies, dying being the worst case scenario. But yeah, either way, it's all natural birth. I'm looking this up right now.
Okay. How many people have a C-section? I feel like we've looked it up before, but I also don't remember.
Yeah. So according to the World Health Organization, slightly more than 1 in 5, 21% of all childbirths are C-sections.
Yeah. And obviously there's variations too. There's planned C-sections, there's emergency C-sections, there's, you know, you're laboring and they're like, okay, we have options. It's not an emergency, but we can do a C-section. Like, there's so many variations. But again, unless you know someone that has lived through that experience, you probably don't know that. Like, I only know truly a lot about C-sections because I have close friends who have had C-sections.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys got to talk about this more, because then it's like the healing journey is going to look different. People aren't talking about that. So then, like, how are they supposed to know what to expect unless they have someone there to, like, tell them how to, you know, go through that journey? I don't know, guys. We should talk more about birth. I don't know why I feel like people are just like, oh, here's the baby, but don't talk about it.
Yeah. We'll
talk about the baby, but don't talk about how we got the baby.
Well,
I know you want to talk about sex all the time, but there's more to getting the baby than sex.
I was going to make a political statement, actually.
Ah, okay.
But
so
I decided not to.
But you ruined it.
Yeah. You hate politics. Actually, that's not true. Kelsey and I have good political conversations.
We do, but I do kind of hate the concept of politics because it leads to a lot of the world's problems. Mm-hmm. But I am up to date on it, unfortunately, because you have to be, which is exhausting.
Yeah.
Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Register to vote, people. That's what we're trying to say.
Lucy and Alex.
Lucy.
And anyways, so, yeah, and then Arizona's like, do you even have the authority to kick him out of the NICU? And she's like, I don't know.
Well, we skipped some things.
Well, yeah.
So let's go back to the, yes. Yeah. At the end, she's like, ah, could you? And she's like, I don't know. Who cares? I don't know. And then back to the scene where we almost lose the baby because Christina's. She's like, is it supposed to have that low blood pressure?
Yeah, it's having a hard time. The baby, there's like, the baby is just unstable.
Yeah.
But Alex and Lucy are both there watching and they're like very on edge and upset. And Alex tries to like reassure her and she's like, oh, really? Because you look like you're about to shit your fucking pants.
Yeah. He's like, there's nothing that could go wrong because we got Robbins and Altman on there. We're good. And then that's when Lucy, who doesn't know any of them very well. She just got here from wherever she got here from, referenced back last week to the credentials that Mark felt like he needed to press out of her. But yeah, she's like, why does everything look terrible on your face then if everything is so good? I'm confused.
Mixed messages, Alex.
That's a theme.
And then the baby stabilizes, luckily. So good news.
Yeah. And then we get the elevator scene where they go down, hit the first floor. You think something could happen. And Alex is like, so you want to grab a... And she's like, absolutely not. No, fuck you. And they walk away.
No, how dare you even look at me? So
they're going to have sex and they're going to get pregnant and she's going to become a mother and he's going to become a father.
And that what episode will they have the sexuals?
They will have the sexuals in season 7, episode 19. Okay. 5 episodes from now.
And also, too, when will she become pregnant? Is it right away or is it later on? And is it planned or is it accidental?
It is accidental. It's going to be a first time smushing.
Oh, one and done.
One and done. Oops, we didn't have a condom. Oops, we're pregnant. Oops, we're married. Oops. They move back to Iowa together.
What a life to live. Okay, so anything else on that storyline before we move on?
No, but I do want to give kudos to you because it is a really good call out. The difference, the drastic difference of the way Alex handled a brain dead kid here versus the organ harvesting of the last episode that you referenced. So
yeah.
I did not think about that. That's a great call out. And this is why you are the Grey's Academy professor. And I am but the college debt ridden student. Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
You made no effort to avoid the microphone. You pulled the microphone to your face and said, fuck you audience. Here's a sneeze.
I didn't pull it to my face. I just didn't move away from it.
That was luckily it's just one. I would have had like 7.
Yeah, I don't do that. Michael does that though.
That is so funny. And the look on your face just, and this, we have this recorded. It's lives forever in Zencaster.
Mwahaha. Okay. I'm good. All right. Got that out of my nose. We'll take a quick break from our regional sponsors and then we'll continue on with our lives. And we're back. Maybe it was a medicine for sneezing
and to sneeze.
The next thing to the put in your car.
Yeah, I was just about to make an antifreeze joke too.
Amazing.
So quick. Okay, speaking of, I need Michael to fly up from Tennessee and fix my car because my window is broken.
Oh my gosh, is it not rolling it down?
It's not. Yeah, it's like it's off. It must be off the motor somehow. Mm-hmm. Because it's like coming out.
Yeah, he did that, I think, in all 4 windows on the Pilot before we got rid of the Pilot. So he's a pro at that one.
Yeah.
Fully tell take apart a door.
Yeah, tell him to come on up.
Okay, so do we want to talk Thatcher first or Mark first?
Let's talk Thatcher.
Thatcher shows up.
My first reaction was he's off the wagon.
Yeah.
When they said that he's in the hospital and Bailey just comes in, she's like, I need one of you Greys to help me out with this because Thatcher sucks. And they're like, whoa, this is news. Yeah, I thought for sure he was off the wagon.
Yeah. Well, also when she comes in and she's like, hey, how long has he had this pain? And they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like, you didn't know he was here? He's been here like an hour. Like, what? Why don't you people know anything? Like, he didn't call you? And Lexi's immediately like, oh my God, the end is nigh. And Meredith is like, oh, he's rejecting my liver because it's mine, which is honestly me.
It's so funny.
And so, yeah, they go. Well, Meredith doesn't really go at first. And Lexi runs to him, obviously. And then she's trying to talk to him and, you know, do some intake stuff. And then his lady friend comes in. Well, actually, first he's trying to tell Lexi that he has a girlfriend and he's doing a bad job. And then she comes in and kisses him. And Lexi's like unable to function as a human being anymore.
At all.
Much less a doctor.
But, yeah. And visibly.
Not a great episode for Lexi, I'm going to say.
No. No, and visibly you can tell right away, like, you like, okay, yeah, this girl's probably the same age as Lexi. Like, it does get a little, it gets icky.
It's It's one of those things that I feel like is best visited on a case-to-case basis. Because I'm like, okay, this girl is almost 30. I don't remember how old Thatcher is. There's probably a 20, 25-year age difference at least. Yes, that is a lot of age difference. Sometimes it works. And it's, I'm more okay with it when it's not like a minor.
Totally.
Everyone's brain is fully developed at this point. Right? So I'm like, is it uncomfy that she's the same age as your daughter? Yes. But am I going to be like, this is wrong and terrible? Probably not. It's just not for me. And that's fine.
There are definitely
scenarios where that same age difference would be like not great. Again, if like the younger person is way younger, like obviously a minor or even like under 25, that's where I'm like, that's your brain's not fully developed.
I could say beyond the shadow of a doubt that I would never date someone my daughter's age.
Right now?
Yep.
Yes. Carmen would never date a 2-year-old. Yeah, I mean, it's also like their specific experiences. I feel like they definitely, it's not hard for me to believe there's like a connection because, right, you like when you go through AA and like you're living in sobriety, I think it would be easy to like connect with other people who have had similar journeys. So yeah, I'm not going to say, oh, officially every age difference is gross and wrong. This one, I'm like, if he didn't have a daughter, would we feel as gross about it? I don't think so. I mean, we might be like, that's kind of weird. Like, you know, is she in it for the money? Whatever. Because I feel like that's oftentimes the first thing people think is like, oh, she's like with that person for their money.
Yeah.
But we're pretty confident Thatcher isn't like swimming in the dough or anything. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just, obviously the fact that Lexi's right there does emphasize the unpleasant part of the relationship. But again, I'm just like, you know what? Sometimes this is where we have to be like, no one's getting hurt. Maybe we'll just take a breather and this one's just not for me, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I was thinking about this from like an existential thing and media and society too.
Mm-hmm.
It also feels more uncomfy because I would say the ratio of attractiveness between Danny and Thatcher is a bit off.
So common in media. That's like whole tropes.
But so my point is though that when we look at Mark and Lexi, they're both that's two beautiful people.
And there's less like people are less weird about it.
Yeah,
like, no
people
one's
are less
saying,
weird.
Oh, this is
correct. That was kind of like where my head went with like society, and when it is two beautiful people, like you don't go, oh, Lexi's just in with Mark because she wants all of his mega surgeon money. But if he looked like Thatcher, obviously we would be questioning things a little bit more. And I think that's where that's not what I meant. But
yeah,
when we look at Thatcher and Danny, if this was a normal outside world couple, people would be like, oh, wow, Thatcher must be loaded. And that's a societal programming. Mm-hmm. That's the point that I'm making here is it's too different. And the age gap between Thatcher and Lexi Thatcher and Danny is probably the same as Mark and Lexi.
Yeah, well, not exactly the same, but definitely probably within like 5 to 10 years, I would imagine. I don't think Mark is as old as Thatcher.
No?
But I don't think so.
That feels right to me.
So, yeah. Anyways, it's, you know.
I'm just glad it wasn't him falling off the wagon.
Yes, or rejecting the liver, which they initially think it is him rejecting the liver. And then the labs come back and it's not, which is good. But they can't figure it out. And then finally, because of something the girl says, because she's like keeping track of the details and the pain and everything, then they're able to suss out that it is a kidney stone, which is great. But they did surgery to remove it instead of just letting him pass it.
Which then that's when Meredith is like, that must have been huge.
Yeah.
I've never Lexi had a kidney kidney stone. I hope to never have a kidney stone.
You know, my sister had her tonsils taken out because she had tonsil stones.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Which is apparently pretty common. So. But also, she had them removed when she was like 20, which is like one of the worst surgeries you can have as an adult.
Why?
I don't know. I guess the recovery is just like way worse when you're an adult for some reason. It's like when you have the chicken pox as an adult, it's apparently way worse. I don't know why.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. I never had lice, but I did have the chicken pox. I'm hopeful that Marlo can, if she's going to get one, get the chicken pox. I can't deal with the lice. The lice I can't do. Disinfecting and getting, like, doing my entire house.
It's exhausting.
No, thank you.
There's so much. Yeah, it's so much.
And with, I don't know. This is just fucking all. Kids are the worst.
Kids are gross.
But the best. Just, they're so cool. The scene, I know we're like cruising through this storyline, but I do want to shout out that one scene where she's like going to the lab tech. And she said, I'm going to give your supervisor a terrible review on you. And he's like, this is not a Walmart, ma'am. We have no surveys. That just made me so, because I deal with that every single day. Oh, I'm just going to call corporate and they will hear about this. Okay.
Yes.
Here's their number.
They will. You're not special. They're not going to give a shit. Also, guys, I can't stress this enough. If you take the time to send emails when you're mad, please take the time to send emails when you're happy with your service.
Yes,
the people who answer those emails, it's like they deal with so much negativity. Like 90%+ of their job is just dealing with people bitching. And that's like not technically all their job is, because their job is just like customer, like communication.
Yeah.
And so if we as a society could just normalize like one day a week, pick like a positive interaction you had literally anywhere and just send a quick email. Be like, hey, when I lived in Florida, I went to that Publix that was like right by our house constantly. Multiple people there knew me by name. Like, it was always so nice. All the people there were so nice. I like sent an email. I was like, hey, I love going to this store. I put the store number. I was like, just listed like reasons that it was a great place to shop. It's like, love it. That you guys are doing great. Just wanted to shout them out. Anytime Target sends me a review and is like, how was your experience in Starbucks? I'm like, great. There were 7,000 people in line and one person working, and they were working really hard.
Always,
and they did an amazing job.
One person at these Starbucks Targets.
Yeah.
The one like, we went to, nuts. There was one poor girl.
I have put her by name in multiple of my Starbucks Target reviews. Like when they email me to ask about it, because I'm like, yes, they're doing a really good job. And like people, I'm like standing there and like listening to people being rude, and they're just like handling it really well. And so I'm just like, if you can take the time to be pissed off, can you also take the time to be gracious? And I'm not saying every single interaction you have, you need to send an email for, but like if you have one, that's good. Just once a week. When I was pregnant with Bennett, I emailed Ben and Jerry's, and I was like, this is the only thing I can eat and not throw up. Thank you so much for making good ice cream. And they were like, we're so happy to hear that.
Ben couldn't respond, but Jerry could.
Anyways, just sorry for that sidebar soapbox.
And who doesn't like that? Joyce?
Yeah.
I'm going to yes and you right now.
Okay.
Do send the emails, yes. And you know what else, people? If the email is hard to find, you know what's really not that hard to find? A quick Google review. Just do a 5-star Google review or a Yelp review. I had, some of you know that I had just like the worst string of luck over a 48-hour period with my car and my battery and my starter. And you know who saved my life? The people at Firestone. And I go to them and I was like, I need that your regional manager's email, or I need a customer service, or I need something. Who can I talk to? And they're like, honestly, like the best thing you could do, the best way we get recognition is Google review and Yelp review. And I wrote a wild Google review for them. and I never heard back. So I'm hopeful that they got it. But like these people, I will only take my car, as long as I have a gas car, to Firestone because of the way that they treated me and the service they gave to this one location.
Yeah. So the other one was a turd.
The other one was a jackass. Jackass. So yeah, Kelsey, great call out. Great point. For every, I don't know, five crap posts you send, try to send one.
And maybe. It's okay if you don't send any crap posts. You can still send no crap posts, because there are people out there that are sending 12 crap posts a day. Let me tell you that.
It has to be the crappiest crap for me to send a crap post.
Yeah.
I'm pretty patient when it comes for service.
Yeah. Especially like we've worked so much in customer service and hospitality. Like it, for me to be like, you're doing a bad job, I'm like, wow, you've really done something. Cause it would take a lot for me to get to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. My big trigger is when someone tells me something different and then immediately something. Mm-hmm. And then immediately it's something different. Like the miscommunication of when someone's telling me something.
Yeah, the breakdown of communication is like very irksome to me. But also like after working for a huge corporation, I know that what's frustrating is the people giving out the information rarely have it correct. But it's not on them. Like someone has not told it to them. And it's so frustrating. I'm like, if I'm going to email you, I'm going to be like, this is on you because this person was nice, but they were also like misinformed. And like, I don't think that's their fault. Like, I think that's a failing on the overall communication of the way you run your company.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys, if we could just set everybody up for success, it would be a lot better for everybody.
What a concept. So anyways, Christina. Yeah. Christina's got a funny line. When Christina has such good quotes. Also, we never talked about in the other episode.
I was going to say
the actual funny quote. Do you want to share that funny quote? The beginning one with Hunt.
When she's like, oh, I have which groundbreaking trial? Oh, wait, with Owen?
Yeah.
Oh, when she comes in, Meredith is like bitching about not knowing which trial she's going to do. And then Christina's complaining about it to Owen. And she says, Meredith has two groundbreaking trials and I don't have any. And Owen's like, you have a husband who loves you. And she goes, yeah, so does she. And Owen goes, well, then I guess you're screwed.
And they actually do. They do seem like they are in love and happy.
Yeah, they seem in a better spot right now, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to get divorced. I think I'm going to pull that prediction. I don't know if I actually kept that prediction, but I'm going to pull it. Also, Christina did have that funny one-liner where she's like, if you continue to whine about how you can't decide which groundbreaking medical advancement to put your name on, I'm going to punch you in the ear.
So specific. What a specific spot to punch
right
somebody.
Right in the ear.
Right in the ear.
Goodness.
Sometimes you just got to punch your friends in the ear, you know?
It's true. We've all been there.
I mean, daily.
Yeah. But when it is, when she goes, when Lexi's like, Meredith, I need you to come in this room with me. And Christina's like, Meredith, be careful when you go in there. Because when you tangle with one Hell's Angel, you tangle with the whole gang.
Also, when Meredith's like, I'm not going to go. And Christina's like, come on, I want to see your dad making out with a tatted up skank. Or a tatted up fiance. And Lexi's like, it's not his fiance. And she's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
The mind games.
Christina is.
She plays for pure sport.
Folks, this is why I'm so glad that Christina is back.
Yeah.
Because I miss this.
The comedy to the show that no one really else can match.
Remember that time she caught a fish?
Yes, and cried.
I want you all to know that if we get a scene in her refrigerator area, like on the refrigerator, and I see her refrigerator and that picture is not on it, I'm
going
to be annoyed with the continuity.
Send an email.
I'm going to send a scathing email, and they're going to respond.
Strongly worded email.
Sir, this episode came out 14 years
sir,
ago. Oh, goodness. Oh, I could do some Wendy's right now.
Yeah, I could crush a Wendy.
Mm. right between my thighs. Right in the ear.
Punch the Wendy right in the ear.
I could do a Frosty right now. Should I DoorDash a Frosty right now?
No, but if you could DoorDash a hamburger to me, I would really appreciate it.
I would do a Baconator right now.
I don't love the Baconators. I like a hamburger.
The Baconator is just a fancy hamburger.
Their spicy chicken sandwiches are actually quite good.
For a while, there was...
left out on the spicy chicken argument, but they're pretty good.
There was a long hiatus that I took off of Wendy's because of your daughter.
Well, okay. Because of events surrounding the event of my daughter's birth. They were unrelated.
I think this was your daughter's way of welcoming herself into the world of my life.
Emily says that she brought the plague, so.
Oh, yes, that's right. COVID did happen shortly after that. Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
So Lexi continues to just be like the worst version of herself. She's mean to Mark. She's mean to Tester. She's mean to Danny.
The worst version of herself, and that's including the time that she checked herself into a mental hospital.
Yeah, like, honestly, well, it's not great.
This is worse. This is like at least that one was justified. We're like, I understand. You've been through a lot.
No boundaries, no respect for human beings. It is hard. I mean, obviously, Thatcher's, like, in a difficult spot because, like, when he stands up for Danny and he's like, Lexi, you're out of line. That has to feel horrible as the daughter to be like, why are you taking her side? I'm your daughter. But at the same time, I'm like, but you're like being awful.
Yeah, like, you are out of line.
Stand up for her.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's an unfortunate situation for Thatcher for sure. Also when she fully like screams at Danny because Thatcher's in pain. And Danny's like panicking, which like, yes, it's annoying, but this happens like every other episode, the family member is freaking out and like in the way. And they're like, just get them out of the room. Right. They don't get in their face and push them and scream.
I don't think she pushed, but I think she did say back the hell up.
Yeah. I mean, she pushed her by getting in her space. Do you know what I mean? Like when you get right up on somebody. So you're either like nose to nose or they back down. That's intimidation is really what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying.
Again, just overall bad episode for Lexi. Understandable that she's upset / shocked. Not justifiable in her actions, in my opinion.
No. And it is funny though. Just the drama surrounding this entire, all of these interactions. And mm-hmm. Bailey even kicks it off. She's like, I'm just going to ask my questions and then whatever is happening here, I will leave you all to it.
Yeah.
But when the kidney stone thing kind of does start to come out and then they're like, well, it could be the prostate and Lexi's, or Danny's like, oh, it's cancer. And Lexi's like, well, yeah, he's old. When your boyfriend's old, there's prostate issues. Like, okay, but just also let's be professional, Lexi.
Also, and then she's like, if you were a doctor like we were, you would know that that's not what the word prostate means.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn, Lexi, like, get off the high horse, get the stick out of your ass and be a good person. Like, I feel like it's more frustrating when it's someone who's normally such a good person.
Yeah, because Meredith is sitting there just like calm. She's zen as hell. And even Danny's like, are you the...
definitely not my problem anymore.
Yeah, seriously. Meredith is like, I have to decide between my mom's legacy. I don't have time for this. Like, yeah. Thatcher, if that even is your real name, Cyrus, whatever. So yeah. It does end up being the kidney stone. And when we get this reality scene where Lexi's like, whatever, this is his MO. He's going to start a new family. He's going to have 6 midlife crisis babies, blah, blah, blah. Over dramatic, mm-hmm. not to call the pot and the pot calling the kettle black here. But Meredith is like, look, this is so different than what happened with me because my wife or his wife had the affair. Our mom had the affair. My mom. And my mom took me, across the country.
Like secretly.
Yeah. And your mom died of the sneeze.
Of the sneeze. R.I.P. She died of the sneeze.
Like, and then he started drinking and destroyed his liver. This is not about you, Lexi. Just give him the damn blessing and be happy. And then she's like, I hate that you don't hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, you've got to grow up. Yeah. Like, honestly, good Meredith episode.
And she says, I love you to Lexi.
Yeah.
I needed to ask, is this the first time we've heard her say that?
I don't think so.
But I don't know for sure. Our Patreon fact checkers, our fact warriors out there, I need to know, was this the first, because I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to risk the spoilies.
Yeah.
But I need to know, is this the first time that Meredith tells Lexi that she loves her and we hear it? So, I don't know. It was just, great Meredith episode. But she does have a moment with Jackson where she starts to realize
that she is the problem.
It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
Okay, so sidebar to all of this happening. Jackson is with Mark. And Mark's like, thank God you're on my service. Because, like, it is so good when the plastic surgeon is attractive. Like, the bitches love it. The bitches being the patients of all genders.
And bitches.
Yeah. And so...
literally female dogs.
Well, I learned the origin of the word bitch today.
Oh.
It's more than just female dog. It is the female dog, but when it was introduced as a like insult, it was more akin to saying someone was like skanky, because they were saying you're like a bitch in heat. Like they would sometimes call like sex workers bitches, and it wasn't about attitude and more about like that's a horny lady.
Ah.
Anyways, and that's too many tangents today, but
not enough tangents. I love bitches then.
So Mark is like, okay, you're attractive. You should be on plastics with me. And Jackson's like, I don't feel comfortable being judged on my looks. And Mark goes, poor Mr. Green Eyes. First of all, it's funny. Second of all, the delivery on it, 1,000 out of 10. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
No notes. Like, so good.
Yeah.
Let's not act like being pretty is a burden.
Yeah. It's that whole first interaction Jax was like, oh, yeah, I think I really have a hand for plastics. And he's like, oh, absolutely. I mean, God, look at your cheekbones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is all perfect. And then this will live rent free in my head forever. I want you to know. How about a little sparkle? And then he goes, there it is. A little bit of a dick, but also like, I mean.
I don't, but like, I feel like I would see where Jackson would be annoyed, but like Mark's intentions are not bad.
No.
Like, he's like, I'm attractive and I play that up to benefit like my work. And now you can do the same thing. And like, thank God.
Yeah. But
I
to
could
me,
see where Jackson would be annoyed.
I also in my head was thinking, did Mark think Alex was ugly? Because he never said this to him.
Listen, I think Alex is attractive, but like where Jackson sits is a whole nother level.
I think Jackson is more attractive than Alex.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We would disagree on the people that I think are more attractive than Jackson, but...
yes, we would. Okay, so they're doing a rhinoplasty, which is a nose job. And Mark's like, hey, do this. And like while Jackson's doing it, he's like quizzing him about Lexi. He's like, sometimes she cries. And Mark's like, you think that's fine? He's like, I don't know. Girls cry. Like, I don't fucking care. We're done like friends.
Kelsey.
And then he's like,
he's not just doing. He has a mallet and a chisel.
I didn't enjoy it.
I don't understand.
They have to break your nose to do a nose job.
With a sledgehammer?
With a
pickaxe?
It's a chisel and a hammer, yes.
That guy was basically Yukon Cornelius in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in this woman's nose.
Okay.
I was off put by watching the whole
thing. I didn't love it. That's why I didn't go into descriptions. But that is how they do a nose job. They do have to break the nose to be able to do whatever they want to it.
I like my nose.
I'm happy for you.
I find no faults in my nose.
Okay.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it. You know?
This is going to be a long episode.
Yeah. Okay, we're good. All right, let's just...
So he's like quizzing Jackson about Lexi, and then he's like, you know what, I have like 3 more nose jobs today. If you can get more info out of her, I'll let you be lead surgeon on one. He's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
No, he said, I might let you, maybe.
And so Jackson tries like very half-heartedly, like when Lexi comes in and talks about the girlfriend, and he's like, does that make you feel upset? Do you want to talk about it? And she's like, no. And he goes, okay, bye.
I got a surgery to get to.
So then he tells Mark that he didn't get anything. And Mark's like, really? Well, try again and like use Reese's cups. But he can't say Reese's cup because product placement, whatever the laws are. I don't know. He's like, use peanut butter cups because she's a stress eater. And once you get her eating those like candies, she'll just open up and like tell you anything, which ultimately is true, which is really just like a tiny little side note of like how well Mark knows her, which is sad because they're no longer together. But
for now.
So then Lexi is just standing at the nurse's station, just leering at Danny, who is clearly very worried, like while Thatcher's in surgery. And Jackson comes over, offers her candy. And so she starts eating and venting. Like it's exactly what Mark said would happen. She starts eating and starts venting. And she's like, Meredith's a jerk and Mark is doing all of this stuff and like having a whole life without me, and like it's so not fair, like everyone just moving on and I'm getting left behind and no one's asking my opinion on like anything, and everyone just making all these choices and no one cares how it affects me, which is a touch selfish.
Which she realizes.
Yes, she does get there. And so
she ends with, my dad's tatted up skank isn't the bitch I am.
I am.
And then Jackson's like,
just a lesson we could all learn.
Yeah. And then Jackson's like, we should start by maybe not referring to her that. Yeah.
Also, she thanks Jackson. She's like, thank you for the candy. Thank you for listening, which is sweet.
I knew, for the record, I want you all as listeners to know, in that moment, I was like, he's not going to fucking tell Mark this.
Which was nice. It was a nice choice for him.
Is it nice? He's got ulterior motive. He's trying to smush, okay, is what's happening.
I do think that is true, but I don't think that's why he doesn't tell Mark. I think he genuinely is like sees how upset Lexi is. And I don't think Mark is necessarily doing it. Like, I think he is also like, he just wants to be involved in Lexi's life and he's sad he's not. But it's like crossing a boundary. If she doesn't want to share these things with you, then like it's not someone else's business to share it on her behalf. So I think he's just like seeing how upset. Maybe if it was just the thing with her dad, he would have shared it. But because it's also like directly tied to Mark, I think Jackson knows that that would like be breaking a trust thing to like tell Mark what she said about him. But good on Mark for being like, oh, you can still be lead, like you still tried. I'm not a total piece of shit.
Well, which, yeah, Jackson was about to walk
Mark
away.
Definitely would have not, but like wouldn't have let him scrub in.
Yeah. Well,
again, growth.
Growth, yeah. Jackson, I mean, he was ready to walk away. He was ready to be like, look, I'm throwing this away. I get it. Like, you know, this is where we're at.
Yeah,
it
we made this work. Deal. I didn't follow through, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. And to your point just now, Jackson did offer up originally the dad thing.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, she's upset about her dad, blah, blah, blah. And that's when he's like, oh, okay, all right, well, we need more. So
do something about it.
Yeah. I think that ultimately Jackson is trying to, like the Spice Girls, get with her and be her lover.
You also predicted Jackson and April would be sleeping together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know what I'm setting myself up here for, but do you still feel like that's going to happen?
I do. And it's going to be a threesome.
Okay. There it is. I mean, it's my own fault, really.
That was me playing into your hand on purpose. But it's for the audience. It's for the listeners. And for me. when did I predict Jackson and April?
Last episode.
Last episode. No, no, but when was the due date?
By the end of season 7, I think is all you said.
Okay. So I don't think that Jackson and Lexi will smush, okay. But Jackson wants to smush.
Okay. Well, so he asks her out, essentially, and she's like, no, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. And he has the cute little look on his face. Yeah,
they really lingered on his face, like his hopeful face.
You know, his hopeful face is the same as my orgasm face.
Okay. I'll have to take your word for it.
It's been a long day, everyone. Sorry, we're getting a little unhinged.
Okay, is there anything else we need to talk about before we rate it and predict more things?
Yes.
What?
I just was hoping more would come to my mind. No, I think every single...
Poor Mr. Green Eyes.
Mickey Bean? yeah, beauty is not a burden, Jackson. I know that this is not the first time you've been like, oh, I'm so pretty. You don't know how hard it is for me to be so pretty. No one feels bad. That's all my notes, though. That's it. That's all I got. Yeah. I did like that scene in the lunch table where they were actually like, Meredith, this was originally, sorry, cohesive thoughts, people. I'm sorry. Yeah. When Lexi was trying to originally have Meredith come in and talk to Thatcher, she's like, I can't deal with my dad. I'm too busy with my mom. That was very funny.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Anything else?
Do we have any questions from the friends?
We surely do. Thank you so much for reminding me that exists, because I forgot. Okay. What does Carmen think of Lucy's and Alex so far?
There's some steam building up in the engine room. And actually, so I think I needed an episode to digest Lucy, but so far I really like her as a character. I don't think she overreacted to Alex.
I don't either.
I also don't know, like, the scene where I'm just confused to where her head is at, because it looks like she was kind of softening on him when she was like, she
looks
turned away. Yeah. Yep. So I'm very curious to see what the next steps of their relationship looks like. So, but I like her. I like her. I think she's got some good energy and great hair in this episode. My gosh. Yep.
Do you think Lexi over or underreacts?
As someone who has been through their father specifically, go through different relationships, I've never gone through my dad dating someone the same age as me. Mm-hmm. I would not like it.
Yeah.
So I think that it's... She overreacted as a doctor, but she underreacted as a person.
See, my thing is, I'm like, whatever feelings you have, I'm probably right there with you.
Yeah.
But the action items that you did on those feelings is where I draw the line.
To me, the action items were only bad because she was physically on the clock for all of these interactions. If she was just... in the living room at home.
See, to me, different. I'm like, if you say all that stuff to Thatcher, that's one thing. But like, you're saying this stuff to this girl within like meeting her like 20 minutes ago. And you're you're a dumb hoe who's not even a doctor.
You have a hooker tattooed on your shoulder.
And your boyfriend's old.
Yeah, okay. He's got prostate problems.
Yeah. Wait, what was it that... okay, hold on. What does Carmen think of Thatcher's girlfriend?
I like her. We'll see what happens.
Hold on, let me see. I feel like I had a note specifically about the end, something that Lexi says to Danny. Oh, she says, just make sure he calls me. And then Danny's like, oh, I've been sober 5 years. We support each other. We help each other. But Lexi doesn't apologize. And that really did irk me. And I didn't want to take note of that because I do always call out the boys for not apologizing. So I do want to say Lexi should have apologized.
Yeah.
Again, you don't need to apologize for having upset feelings. You just can apologize for how you showcase them to the world. Okay. And then which clinical trial would you choose to be on?
Ooh. That one's tough. I think I would probably choose to stick on the Alzheimer's one.
Interesting. I don't think I would. I think I would go diabetes. Also, the brain freaks me out. I don't think I could do brain surgery. Brains freak me out. I think I could manage an abdominal surgery.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. If I am in my life needing brain or eye surgery, just call it. Just, I'm out.
Even if it's like a 99% success rate.
Let me die. Let me die in peace. Unless we haven't finished Grey's, in which case I'll consider it.
Okay.
If I need brain surgery before I know what happens on this TV show, the Lord hates us then. He's the one who gave us a 3-star review somewhere.
Ugh, so true. Is a voting system in which a reproductive organ and a fetus get equal share votes an effective means of co-parenting? No, is my opinion.
I don't think I have a right to vote as I don't have a uterus.
I appreciate that answer.
I will just say that
we kind of touched on it earlier. There's just better ways to communicate and go about it and like hearing and serving your partner's needs.
Yeah. Like for instance, we're trying right now and I'm not going to tell Jessica like every day. I'm like, hey, did you take your prenatal today? Hey, did you take your prenatal today? Cool. Cool. But I'm never like, you didn't take your prenatal? What? Do you not even love me? Do you not like, you should eat this diarrhea smoothie. I stop drinking coffee. Like, no, it's very much, I think it's just be gentle. But at the end of the day, in this scenario, Arizona is not carrying the baby and Mark does not even have the parts. So Callie's vote matters the most.
I agree. I just don't think you should just say it's just a vote.
Like, no.
I just
it's
think
not,
it should be more of a conversation.
It's not a democracy, but it's also not a dictatorship.
It's cheerocracy.
Yeah. Cheer. Ooh. Is that a thing? Did you just make that up?
No, that's... Oh, my God, Norman.
What's that
Watch
from?
Watch Bring It On.
Okay. Is that the Hayden Panettiere movie?
No. She's which in one of the sequels.
Okay.
So I shouldn't have gotten so mad. But she's not in the original, which is the one that matters. Anyways.
I think the one with Hayden Panettiere matters more.
You're wrong. How does Carmen see the medical trials going?
Neither get cures.
Yikes.
They do not cure Alzheimer's and they do not cure type 1 diabetes in this TV show. But I do think that they have that I don't know about the type 1 diabetes one. I need some time to let that one marinate. But the Alzheimer's one, I think they are going to have some sort of win that changes the progression or maybe some drug that slows things down. That I could believe. That seems like a thing that's really happened in modern science, and they're just giving it credit to the people in Grey's Anatomy for this world that they're building. But neither of them get cures.
Okay. Who do you think will get chief resident?
Dark horse shot here is April.
Okay. Do you think Meredith made the right choice choosing Alzheimer's trial? I think yes.
I think yes, too.
Okay. I think that's all of them. So you don't think that Lexi and Jackson will have sex. You just think Jackson wants to, but she won't.
I think they're going to make out a little bit. Maybe maybe some intense situation where Lexi decides, no, I can't. I'm still in love with Mark. Or yeah, you Mark walks to
make
in.
I know you have a Mark Lexi prediction that you wanted to make. So yes. I would like you to do that now.
So Kelsey is going to be posting this reel on Instagram at some point, or in this world on Thursday, she already has. Mm-hmm. I just really, something in my gut is saying that this last week's episode where she said, "You, Kaylee, we got this into my, this me in this situation twice." I feel like that's going to be classic for them. Something in my loins is telling me that.
That's a core memory for them.
It's a core memory for them. I'll tell you what I'm scared of is we're going to have a will they, won't they again. Mm-hmm. And when they finally get back together, the Shonda universe is going to kill one of them. That's what I'm scared of.
I would like you to tell me when and how and whom.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Here's a whom.
Horton, here's a whom. I just, because when that scene with the candles and Meredith and Derek were finally getting together and they panned to that dream where Derek dies. Yeah. I genuinely was like, this is how they kill him.
Yeah.
Patrick Dempsey's too big of an actor for them to stay on the show. And here he is. 7 seasons. I don't know. I just, I feel like, I don't know. I don't want it to be Mark, but I think they're going to kill Mark. But also Lexi did do, when did that movie, where she's the girl in school and Captain America is there?
I don't think I could tell you like anything other than television that she's been in.
She was the movie. She was the movie. She was in the movie with Chris Evans, where they're like,
I believe you. I just don't know. I'm not the one to ask.
I can't
I'm
go
look
to her
up. I know her, I'm going to look her up.
Yeah. Go to her IMDb. It's like, it was a remake. It was a high school movie and I can't go to the prom with her. She's got pigtails or a ponytail.
What?
Not another teen movie?
Was she in that?
Was she?
Yeah, she was. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's the girl from Not Another Teen Movie. But when did that movie come out?
That movie came out. Oh God, that is Chris Evans. That's wild. 2001.
Okay. Never mind. Never mind. All right. I don't know. Someone's going to die.
But you're not going to tell me when?
Season 8. End of season 8. Season 8 finale. We get one more season of Will They, Won't They.
Okay.
Like a season and a half.
Okay. And anything with... I think you've done everybody's predictions. You said that Christine and Owen aren't going to get divorced.
Yeah, I feel good. Their love story is good right now. It's very Taylor Swift.
Lucy and Alex, what did you say about them?
Smushing booties.
Okay. Jackson and Lexi, not smushing booties.
No, but they will kiss, maybe some heavy petting.
Jesus Christ.
Some over the clothes stuff.
Stop.
Some high school style dry humping.
But Jackson and April.
For sure smushing. And they're going to fall in love and make a family.
Okay. And then I think that's it for, like, Derek and Meredith are just doing the trial. Richard's doing the trial. We didn't really see Bailey enough in this episode for me to ask you to say anything about her. So I think we should just rate it and then go to bed because I'm sleepy.
Yeah. 3.9.
I'm right there. I'm going to do 4. I think it was good. I think there's a lot of character development for various people in this episode. And, you know, I don't love the character of Thatcher, but I like when they bring Thatcher back because, like, I like getting to see Meredith and Lexi interacting in, like, a family situation. And I think, especially now that Meredith has, like, done a lot of healing work, seeing her kind of be okay in those situations is nice. I also just love the way they framed up the choice for her between the two clinical trials, I just think that they did like such a good job with that. And like any episode where I say it's a good episode for Derek and Owen, I have to give a couple extra points because like I hate both of them. So if I said it's good for both of them, that's got to be a good episode.
Yeah, that's true. I can confirm all of that. And I feel good with all of those points. And then I also want to give a special shout out to all of Christina's comedic timing.
Yes. And also getting to see Mark and Jackson together. That's fun. I like that dynamic. That's fun. Okay, so I think that's it then. We're going to wrap it up. So thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. Chit chat, all the things. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you didn't like. Remember, send a positive email this week. Leave someone a good review. Just do something great. Even if it's just something you order on Amazon. Especially if it says it's a small business owner, those reviews. Ooh, especially if you order something on Etsy.
Ooh, reviews yeah.
Really help them on Etsy. Just like, you know, let's put some positivity out in the world. There's like some not great stuff going on. We can be the good stuff, guys. We can do it. Just remember, also, please share our podcast with your friends and your family, with everybody you see out in the world. But if you see Carmen, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.
At Sleep Outfitters Outlet, great sleep is a big deal. Save 40 to 60% every day on every Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. Queens as low as $249. Customer exchanges, closeouts, and floor samples. Inventory changes daily, so come in for your dream deal today. With no credit needed financing, expert advice, and up to 60% off retail, it's never been easier to get the sleep and savings you deserve. Go to sleepoutfittersoutlet.com for financing details and to find a store near you.